Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior. The hope of nations. Savior, ink can move a mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Yeah. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky. The heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth. Early in the morning, I will celebrate the light. As I stumble in the darkness, I will call your name by night. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy. Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah, O Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah, to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah, to the Lord of heaven and earth. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth. Lord.
God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you, Lord, for being the God of wonders. Father, sometimes we need reminded that you are in control. This week, with the big earthquakes and the tsunamis around the world, Father, we ask ourselves why many times. But Father, we know that you are in control. And that, Father, if we know you, that all things will work out for your glory. And we thank you for what you're going to do, because, Father, we know that you know best. In Jesus' name.
You have my heart, and I am yours forever. You are my strength, God of faith and power, and everything you hold in your hand, still you make time for me. I can't understand. I praise you, God of earth and sky. How beautiful is your unfailing love, unfailing love. And you never change, God, you remain the Holy One. Your unfailing love, unfailing love. You are my rock, the one I hold on to. You are my song, and I sing for you. And everything you hold in your hand, still you make time for me. I can't understand. I praise you, God of earth and sky. How beautiful is your unfailing love, unfailing love. And you never change, God, you remain the Holy One. Your unfailing love, unfailing love, unfailing love, unfailing love. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. And age to age he stands, time is in His hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, and Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great, how great is our God. He is the name above all names. He is worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God.
Sing your praise to the Father.
You are the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God.
Okay, just the voices.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you all this morning in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're thankful that you took time to come out to worship the Lord with us today in spirit and in truth. And you know, just to begin the service this morning, the events of this week have been riveting, haven't they? All over the world, as we watched with excitement and with awesome compassion for the people of Japan. An 8.9 devastating catastrophic earthquake to the people of Japan, and I'm sure you're all praying for them. And you know, I thought in my devotions, and I'd just really like to share this real quick with you, Psalm 46, and this is something for us as believers in Christ to keep in mind in these last days. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. And I trust that that is your hope, and that is your declaration, your proclamation this morning of your faith in Christ. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. And let's continue to pray for those dear people of that land of Japan as they recover and try to rebuild their lives and that they might seek the Lord, and this nation and this world might seek the Lord as never before. I'd like to welcome you today, and it's our privilege this morning to have as our ministering servant a very special guest, and his name is Dr. William Harding. Dr. Bill is Professor Emeritus from the Hatfield Theological Seminary, and we'd like to welcome you this morning in the name of the Lord, and we look forward to what the Lord has given him to share with us today from his word. Turn in your back, please, of your bulletin. We'll do this real quick. The announcements, we'll run through them as quickly as we possibly can. By the way, there are attendance rosters on the end of each row there. If you would be so kind as to just take it and sign it, pass it along, that we might have a record of your visit with us this morning. Plan to join us for the evening service. Brother Bill Filter is away this evening and for this day, and so I'll be leading a Bible study. Please pray. We're going to be talking about the prophetic significance of the recent events in Egypt. So please put that on your calendar, and if you can, come out tonight. The Awana program with Pat Petrick and all the helpers will be meeting as well, so please pray for these things tonight. Midweek prayer meeting is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Plan to join us as we call upon the name of the Lord. You know, wherever two or three are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst. And God hears and answers prayer. That's a testimony of this church. And we invite you to come and be a part of it. And if you can't, please join us in prayer from your homes as we pray for the ministry. Family prayer breakfast, March 19th. We'll be having a family prayer breakfast. Melissa Filter, back from Iraq, from the Middle East, will be sharing her testimony of Christ. So please put that on your calendar. It's going to be a wonderful time. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. A radio broadcast. The elders have decided after prayer that the leading of the Holy Spirit is to consider a 15-minute Sunday morning broadcast on WPAZ. I guess it's not a final decision yet. So please pray that God would lead us in this decision. It may be a very good time to be an outreach to this surrounding area of Pottstown, Boyertown, and Gilbertsville. So please pray as the elders seek the mind of the Lord about this matter. Lancaster Bible College Golf Tournament. The annual Church Challenge Golf Tournament will be held on Monday, May 2nd. You may sign up individually as a pair or as a four-man or woman team. The proceeds go to the scholarship fund of Lancaster Bible College. The cost is $95 or $380 for a team. The Benevolence Fund. We have been praying for Jamie, a friend of Becky Ault, in her bout with cancer. She is battling cancer that has required expensive surgery. Her health insurance did not cover the hospital charge, and there are love offering baskets in the back and at the door for those who are led to share in this financial burden. Please pray for her recovery, Jamie, and please pray that God will provide this need. And if you feel led of the Lord, contribute to that love offering in the back, the baskets there. Men's prayer breakfast. We have scheduled a men's prayer breakfast at the Pottstown Diner at Route 100 and King Street for Saturday morning, April 2nd.
April 9th.
Okay. You heard it from the pastor's lips. April 9th, gentlemen. And there is a sign-up sheet in the back. So please, men interested, please sign up at the Welcome Center in the back and avail yourself of this wonderful time and privilege of fellowshipping with brothers in the Lord to pray and seek God's face. You know, Brother Bill, we really look forward to his ministry this morning. And he's going to be speaking on James 1:22, and it's a good challenge for us as believers. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And so we will continue our worship service this morning. If you would please look up here on the PowerPoint, hymn number 585, as Andrew plays and familiarizes us with the hymn. Brethren, we have met to worship. We've come to worship the Lord this morning. Amen. Let me get my hymnal. I'll be right back. Whatever burdens you might have this morning, bring them to the Lord. Let's worship Him today. Amen. In spirit and in truth, let's all stand. Brethren, we have met to worship Him in spirit and in truth. for God to send down the manna. Please say amen. 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 Thank you and be seated.
I'd also like to welcome all to our worship service this morning. We trust you've come with a heart of praise and worship. And you know already, you have delighted the heart of God. He seeks worshipers. And we've come to worship Him, and we're going to worship the Lord at the throne of grace in prayer. And during our prayer time this morning, we would like to invite all of you, if you have any special requests that you would like us to take to the throne of grace, that you share them at this time, or expressions of praise for the marvelous way that God has answered prayer and intervened in your lives. So if there are any special requests at this time, it's my privilege to come to you in prayer. And we recognize, Father, that this is our privilege because of your love, a love that compelled you to send your Son to the cross of Calvary to shed His blood, that on the merits of His blood we could have that divine pardon, freed from the penalty and the power of sin. And we praise you, Father God, that because of our faith in Christ, we can be called your children. And that we have access to your throne. We praise you, Father God, for your marvelous love and for your precious word. And as Bill shares with us today, truths from your holy word, we pray that it would penetrate into our hearts and minds, that your people would be strengthened indeed. And if there are any amongst us today, Father God, we would pray that you would show to them your great love, and that they too then would open our hearts to the Savior, that in all points of our worship today, Christ and He alone would be exalted. As our Heavenly Father, we know that you know our needs. And Father, you've heard some expressed here this morning. We pray for divine intervention. Many were unmentioned. Father, we know that you're aware, and we ask that with our physical needs, if it please you, that you would intervene our prayer. Always, oh Father, that there would be healing. And then too, we always, oh Father, want to be in a hurry for that. But we yield to your will, Father, and if it please you to provide healing, if not, Father, it would be that all-sufficient grace that would carry people through and sustain them. We pray, Father, for Joan Bailey this morning, her father, who undergoes the surgery, that you would touch his body and heal him. We marvel, Father, at the way you intervened on behalf of Paul with the surgery that's successful. We know, Father, that it's been a testimony to the doctors, and we pray that his healing would be total, complete. And we thank you that he could be with us today to fellowship and to worship. We thank you, Father, for this one that Ken mentioned, and our hearts go out to all of these homeless people. We thank you for the integrity of the one that was soon. May your richest blessing be upon him, and may there be a witness to him, Father, that if he isn't already, he would come to know Christ as his Savior. And, Father, for those that Joyce mentioned, we think of Gary and his health issues, that he would be able to handle the diabetic situation, that his blood sugar would level off. There would be not any further complications. Father, we thank you for his faithful ministry. Continue to bless Gary and Joyce in a wonderful way. For the grandson, Father, for Kaori, Father, we ask that you would touch their lives and draw them close to thyself. And we give you praise and honor and glory, Father, for them. And then, Father, we have been indeed reminded that thou art the God of all creation. And, Father, in this time of turmoil, particularly there in the Far East, Japan, the Pacific Islands, even our own West Coast, Father, we pray that people might understand that you're God and might be a great turning to you. Get glory to yourself, Father. We ask you would meet the needs of the people. Many, Father, become homeless. There have been loss of loved ones. And, Father, we do pray that people might get an eternal perspective on things, and ultimately Christ and He alone would receive the glory. And Father, we, as Joni mentioned, the marvels of the universe, the heavens do declare the glory of God, Father. And we see again this great evidence of that. And we do pray, Father, that truly people would worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Father, for the awareness that we have, the spiritual light, the understanding that all things are of you. And then you hold things together, Father. We praise you. And then, Father, we do want to pray for the troops. We pray for our nation. We pray, Father, for their protection, that they would accomplish their mission. And particularly, we pray, Father, that your people, Christians, in serving in the military, would be a light. Would, O Father God, be a testimony and a witness to their comrades. And we pray that not only would we see victory in terms of all those political missions, but Father, it would be victory in the sense that these people could share the light of Christ with fellow troops, and then Father, too, for the people that they are serving. And Father, now we pray in this time of worship this morning, we pray your richest blessing as we worship you. Father, with our tithes and offerings, we thank you for the great privilege of laying up treasures in heaven. And we do ask, Father, that your richest blessing upon the offering this morning. We pray, O Father God, that you would provide wisdom in the decisions that are made relative to the expenditure of the funds, that that every cent might, O Father God, be put toward exalting our beloved Savior. Bless those who can give, those who could not, Father. We pray, Father, your blessing upon them. And in all these things, as we worship you in the giving of tithes and offerings, that your name would be exalted and your work would go forward for the glory of our beloved Savior, in whose name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. We're going to ask the men to come. We're going to worship with the giving of tithes and offerings. And during the offering this morning, our offertory is going to be presented by Larry and, believe it or not, Paul Davis. Lord bless you as you minister to our hearts.
The song we're going to sing is Love Divine. This song explains somewhat of what the Lord has done for us when he gave his life on Calvary to save us from our sins.
Sent the Savior to this world of sin and woe. It was love that left heaven's portals and came down to dwell below. It was love that stilled the waters on the stormy Galilee. It was love that paid sin's ransom one dark day at Calvary. Love so divine, love so sublime, love that is deeper than any sea, love for us all, oh how can it be?
It was love that heard my pleading when I cried out of my sin. It was love that saved me comfort. It was love that took me in. It was love that whispered softly, I will never cast you out. It was love that eased my heartache. It was love that moved my doubt. It was love that still is knocking at the hearts of sinful men. It is love that never tires, but that knocks and knocks again. It is love that solves all problems in this world of care and strife. It is love, the love of Jesus, that gives hope and peace and life. Love so divine, love so sublime, love that is deeper than any sea, love for us all, oh how can it be? Love so divine, love so sublime, love that is deeper than any sea, love for us all,
Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Paul. What a blessing, the love of God. The text that Reverend Bill Harding is going to be sharing thoughts on, it comes from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 22 to 25, a great portion of Scripture. And I'm going to read it at this time, just to lay the foundation for his message after our singing of Trust and Obey. Follow with me from James 1:22, and I might say in the bulletin we add a supplemental reading on the same theme that we ought to practice what we preach and to be doers of the word, and you might add that. And also there are devotional readings at the bottom to follow through this week, and we have written up devotionals, they're on the back table, and Gary puts them on the internet, that we might get into the truth of the word of God. Follow as we read the word of God. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The word of God that Bill will share with us in a few minutes. And now we're going to worship with the singing of the hymn 349. It'll be on the PowerPoint, Trust and Obey.
Hymn number 349, please. Let's all stand and sing all the verses. Believe the word of God and do it. Obey it. That's the Christian life. Trust and obey. There's no other way. Be happy in Jesus.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and to all who will trust and obey, trust and obey.
God's people said, thank you, and please be seated.
What an honor and blessing it is to have Bill Harding with us today and his dear wife, Betty, to have them worship and fellowship with us this morning. Now, I know not many people can have the high privilege to go to seminary, but you're going to be a seminary class today. Professor Emeritus from the Biblical Theological Seminary in Hatfield, we welcome Bill Harding. God bless you, Bill, as you minister to our hearts. And this is your class.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Pastor Lee, and it's so good to be with you and to be able to share the Word of God with you. I talked to Paul on the phone Thursday, and he said he was going to try to sing, and praise the Lord, he was able to do it. And it was a tremendous blessing. That row where Paul is seated, we have a Bible study on Thursday nights. The teacher is sitting right alongside of Millie. And we have a great time of fellowship together. Why don't you stand just for a moment, that row right where you are, and let the folks see you. We have a great time on Thursday nights. And I get a chance to listen. And it's a tremendous blessing to me. Now, will you take your Bibles, please, this morning and turn to James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. I want to talk to you this morning about being doers of the Word. One day, a young Christian came to a mission station in Korea to see the pastor who was instrumental in his salvation. He walked many miles to get there. After the customary greeting, the pastor asked the young Christian why he had come. He said he had come because he wanted to recite a passage of Scripture to him that he had memorized. He then proceeded to recite the entire Sermon on the Mount without making a single mistake. The pastor commended him, but then cautioned him that it's one thing to say the Word of God, but it's another thing to practice it. The young Christian said, oh, I know that. He said, when I first tried to memorize the Sermon on the Mount, I found it wouldn't stick. And so he said, I hit upon a plan, and the plan was this. I would memorize a verse out of the Sermon on the Mount, and then I would try it out on my neighbor who was not a Christian. I found that by doing it that way, it would stick. You see, this young Korean Christian was a doer of the Word of God. And it's this matter of being doers of the Word of God that I want to talk to you about this morning. Now, there are three things about it I want you to notice, and they all start with the letter R, and that's just to help you to remember them. The first one is this, the requirement to be doers of the Word. We are commanded to be doers of the Word. Listen to what James says in verse 22. Be ye doers of the Word. The Word is the Word of God. And it's called the Word of God because it comes from God. And God has given it to us in such a way that we can depend upon every single thing it says as being true. Now notice James says, be ye doers of the Word. He didn't say it would be nice if you would all do what the Word of God says. He didn't say we would all be happier if we would all do what the Word of God says. But He commanded us to do it. This means that if you and I are not doers of the Word, we are breaking that commandment, and we are guilty of sin against God. Now, James goes on to say, be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only. What is a hearer only of the Word of God? A hearer only is a person who knows what the Word of God says, but he doesn't act on the knowledge that he has. United Press reported an incident that took place at the University of California in Berkeley. Some of the maintenance men went into the mailroom one day, and they found a whole stack of pamphlets entitled Control of Termites. Guess what? That entire stack of pamphlets was eaten through by termites. Now, the people at the University of California certainly knew how to control termites, but they didn't act on the knowledge that they had. And as a result, that entire stack of pamphlets entitled Control of Termites was eaten through by termites. Now, that's the way it is with us many times when it comes to the Word of God. We know what the Word of God says, but we don't act on the knowledge that we have. For example, we know that the Word of God says that if someone wrongs us, that we're not to take personal revenge against that person. But when someone wrongs us, sometimes we will take personal revenge against that person. And when we do that, we are showing that we are a hearer only of the Word and not a doer. Because if we were a doer, we would obey the Word of God and we would not take personal revenge against the one who wronged us. Or again, we know that the Word of God says that if someone offends us, that we are to forgive that person and treat that person on a personal level just as though the offense had never been committed. But when someone offends us, sometimes we refuse to forgive that person. And when we do that, we are showing that we are a hearer only of the Word and not a doer. For if we were a doer of the Word, we would obey the Word of God, and we would forgive that person and treat that person on a personal level just as though that offense had never been committed. Or again, we know that the ninth commandment says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, and that it means that we are to tell the truth. But sometimes we don't tell the truth. Sometimes we lie, and when we do that, we are showing that we are a hearer only of the Word and not a doer. For if we were a doer of the Word, we would obey that commandment and tell the truth and not lie. Now notice that James goes on to say, be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Here James makes it very clear that if we are hearers of the Word only, we are deceiving ourselves. But how do we deceive ourselves? We deceive ourselves by believing that God only requires us to know what the Word of God says, but He doesn't actually require us to do it. You say, are there really people like that? Oh, yes, there are people just like that. For example, here's a businessman, and he believes that God requires him to know what this book says, but he doesn't believe that God requires him to do everything that's in this book. And so in some of his business dealings, he disobeys the Word of God. Or here is a politician, and that politician believes that God requires him to know what's in this book, but he doesn't actually require him to do everything it says. And so he disobeys what the Bible says in some of his political activities. Or here is a husband and a wife. And they believe that God requires them to know what their duties are as a husband and wife, but they don't believe that God actually requires them to fulfill all of those duties. And so they don't fulfill all of their duties in the marriage relationship. Now, folk, these folk are deceiving themselves. They are believing that something is true that is not true at all. For God not only requires us to know what is in this book, but He requires us to do it. If you and I are going to meet God's requirement, then we must not only know what is in this book, but we must what? We must do it. Now, this brings me to the second R that I want you to notice, and that is the reason for being doers of the Word of God. Why should you and I be doers of the Word of God? It is to improve our spiritual appearance. Now, we see this in verse 23 down through the middle of verse 25. Now, notice verse 23. James says four. Now, he's going to explain why we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. Now, the mirror in James' day was a highly polished piece of metal. And you could look into that highly polished piece of metal and you could see yourself in it. Now, the natural face is the face with which you and I are born. Now, James says, if any man is a hearer only and not a doer, he's like a man looking into a mirror and seeing the face with which he was born in that mirror. And then James goes on to explain why that man is like a man beholding the face with which he was born in that mirror. He goes on to say in verse 24, for he beholdeth himself. This man looks into that mirror. And if he has any blemish on his face, that mirror reveals it. If he has any imperfection on his face, that mirror reveals it. Now, today we have these high-powered mirrors. You ladies know what I'm talking about. And you can look into that mirror and you see everything. If there's the tiniest pimple, you see it and you say, how did that get there? Now, this man looks into the mirror and he sees a blemish on his face. He sees an imperfection on his face. But he doesn't do anything about it. He leaves and goes his way. And you've heard the old saying, out of sight, out of what? Mind. He forgets all about it, and that blemish or imperfection remains right there on his face. Now, the mirror here represents the Word of God that you have in your hand that I have up here. As you and I read the Word of God reveals the sin that is in our lives to us. As we read the Word of God, if we're not doing something we should be doing, the Word of God reveals it. If we're doing something we shouldn't be doing, the Word of God reveals it. If we have an impure thought or a sinful desire, the Word of God reveals it. If we have an affection for that which is evil, the Word of God reveals it. If we have a wrong motive for something that we do or a bad attitude, of course, none of you have ever had bad attitudes, have you? If we have a bad attitude, the Word of God reveals it. If we have unrighteous feelings, such as a feeling of bitterness or resentment or hatred toward another person, the Word of God reveals it. If we have a selfish ambition, or if there is jealousy in our heart, the Word of God reveals it. We look at the Word of God as we read it. The Word of God reveals our sin to us. But we don't do anything about it if we're a hearer only. We see our sin in the Word of God, but we go our way, and out of sight of the Word of God, out of mind, we forget all about it, and that sin remains in our life. And the same thing happens when you come here to church on Sunday morning. Pastor Lee gets up here, and he teaches you the Word of God. It's a mirror. And if you have a sin in your life, you see that sin in the mirror of the Word of God. But what happens? You sit there and you don't do a single thing about it. You get up out of your seat, you go out of that door, and you're just like you were when you came in. That sin is still in your life. And you go your way, and that sin remains in your life. And the sad thing is that that happens Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. You see the sin there in your life. You don't do anything about it. You don't repent of it, confess it to the Lord, and ask Him to forgive you. But instead, you get up, go out of the church, and that sin remains in your life. That's what it means to be a hearer only of the Word of God. But notice in verse 25, James says, "But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty." What is the perfect law of liberty? It's the Bible. It's called law because all people are expected to obey it, whether they are saved or unsaved. It is called perfect because it is as good as it can possibly be. You can't improve on the Bible. You can't make it any better than it already is. It is perfect. And it's called liberty because if you and I obey this book and we have a sin in our life, this book will set us free from that sin. This book will liberate us from that sin. Now notice James says, "Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty." You see that word looketh? Now this doesn't mean just to take a faint glance at something. It means that you look intensely into the Word of God. It means you look at it carefully. It means that you study it. And notice that James says, "Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth in it." This man continues to look into the Word of God. It's his habit to do it. He does it over and over again. And as this man looks into the Word of God reveals his sin to him. And when this man sees his sin, and sees how far short of God's standard he has fallen, that moves this man to action. This man repents of his sin. He confesses it to the Lord. He asks the Lord to forgive him. And as a result, notice, this man is not a forgetful hearer of the Word, but he is a doer of the Word. And because he is a doer of the Word, his spiritual appearance is improved. His character becomes more and more like the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. His conduct is conformed more and more to the standard of conduct that we have given in this book. And others notice the change that has taken place. They remember what this man was like before, and now they see the difference. They remember what this man did before, and now they see the difference. The spiritual appearance of this man has been improved. And why was it improved? Because he was a what, tell me? A doer of the Word. Now, this brings me to the last R I want you to notice, and that is the result of being doers of the word. The result is that we are blessed by God. Now, notice the last part of verse 25. James says, this man, what man? The man who is a doer of the word of God shall be blessed in his deed. Now, that should be translated, should be blessed in his doing. In his doing of what? In his doing of the word of God. Now, who's going to bless this man? God is. And how is God going to bless this man? God is going to bless this man with two things. First, he's going to bless him with true happiness. Now, everybody wants to be happy. Is there anybody here who doesn't want to be happy? Everybody wants to be happy, but listen. The only way you will ever be happy, the only way I will ever be happy, is to be a doer of the Word of God. Why? Because when we are doing what this book says, we are living a righteous life, and happiness, listen, is the result of righteousness. If you and I want to be happy, then we must be a doer of the word. We must be righteous. And if we are, then and only then will we be happy. But if we're not a doer of the word, instead of being happy, we're going to be unhappy. I have a friend who's with the Lord now. We used to call him Happy. You know why? Because he was characterized by happiness. He was one happy man. So everybody called him Happy. He was an usher at the church where I was saved. And he was the ideal usher. When somebody would come in, he would welcome them. He would make them feel right at home. Nobody ever left that church and said, what an unfriendly church that is. I went there and nobody said a word to me. He would make sure he spoke to people who came. Eventually, his wife went home to be with the Lord. And he started to keep company with another lady in that church. My dad and the pastor sat down with him and said, Happy, you need to break off this relationship because nothing can come of it. He said, oh, nothing will come of this relationship. We're just friends. Did you ever hear that line before? We're just friends. But then something did come of that relationship, and Happy wanted to marry that lady. My dad and the pastor sat down with him again and said, Happy, according to the word of God, you cannot do it. Then Happy said something I never thought I'd ever hear him say. He said, I don't care what that book says. I love this woman and I am going to marry her. And he did. For a while, the marriage went along pretty well. But then it started to go downhill. Happy had to go to a hospital 100 miles away. His wife wouldn't even go with him. She gave him $2 to go to a hospital 100 miles away. My dad and I took Happy there. On the way back, he was talking about his marriage. He turned to my dad and he said, Wes, I'm paying for it. I'm paying for it. Now, his name was still Happy, but that happiness that had characterized his life, that caused people to call him Happy, was no longer there. And why? Because he wasn't a what? Doer of the word. Now, if you and I want to be happy, folk, we must be a doer of the word. If we are, we're going to be happy. Because happiness is a result of righteousness. But if we're not a doer of the word, there's no way you're going to be happy. Instead, you're going to be unhappy. The second thing that God blesses us with is peace of conscience. Isn't it great to go home at night and lay your head on your pillow and know that everything is right between you and God and you and your fellow man? Doesn't that give you a wonderful feeling? But listen, that is only possible if you are a what? Doer of the word. Because if you're not a doer of the word, instead of having peace of conscience, you're going to have a guilty conscience. And that guilty conscience is going to gnaw at you all the time. When you get up in the morning, that guilty conscience is going to get up with you and it's going to gnaw at you. When you go to work, that guilty conscience is going to go to work with you and gnaw at you while you're at work. If you go out on a social gathering, that guilty conscience is going to go out on that social gathering with you and gnaw at you all the time while you're out on that social gathering. When you come home and sit down at dinner to eat, that guilty conscience is going to sit down with you and keep gnawing at you. When you go to bed, that guilty conscience will go to bed with you and keep gnawing at you. If you wake up in the night, that guilty conscience will be there gnawing at you. And it will keep gnawing at you until you repent of your sin. Confess it to the Lord and ask His forgiveness for it. And when you do that, the Lord is going to forgive you. And that guilty conscience will be gone. And in its place, there will be peace of conscience. Here then is what James tells us about being doers of the word. We see the requirement to be doers of the word. We are commanded to do what the Lord tells us to do in this book. We see the reason for being doers of the word. It is to improve our spiritual appearance. And as we are doers of the word, our character is more and more conformed to the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our conduct is more and more conformed to the standard of conduct the Lord has given us in this book. And then the result of being doers of the word is that God will bless us. He will bless us first with true happiness, and then He will bless us with peace of conscience. Now look up here because I want to ask you a question. It's not for that person sitting next to you now. It's for you. Are you a doer of the word? Now you've looked into the mirror of the word of God this morning. And if you're not a doer of the word, the mirror of the Word of God has made it very plain to you. And what you need to do right now is to repent of that. Ask the Lord to forgive you. And if you do that, the Lord will answer your prayer. He will forgive you. And He will bless you with true happiness and with peace of conscience. I wonder as we bow our heads, please, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, please. Perhaps you're here this morning and you say, "Preacher, you've been talking straight to me. I know I'm not a doer of the word. I'm a hearer only. And I want to change that this morning. I want to repent of not being a doer of the word. Confess it to the Lord and ask Him to forgive me. And ask Him to enable me through the Holy Spirit who indwells me as a believer in Jesus Christ to be a doer of the word." If that's your desire, with no one looking around, please, would you do this for me? Just slip your hand up and take it down. I'd love to pray for you. God bless you. I see that hand. I see that hand over there. Any others, quickly, just slip it up, take it down. I don't prolong invitations anywhere else, quickly, just before we pray. Last call. Anyone else? God bless you. I see that hand. Anyone else? Quickly. God bless you. I see it over there. Anyone else? I'll wait as long as the Holy Spirit is working. Anyone else? Quickly. Now let's just have a few moments of silent prayer. And here's what I want you to do. Those of you who raised your hands, I want you to talk to the Lord right there in your seat. And I want you to tell him that you're not a doer of the word. You say he already knows it, but you need to confess it. You tell him you're not a doer of the word and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And then ask the Lord to enable you, through the Holy Spirit who indwells you as a believer, to become a doer of the word. And if you do that and you mean it, he'll answer your prayer. And when you go out of those doors, you will go out different than you were when you came in. You came in being only a hearer of the word and not a doer. You'll go out of those doors being a doer of the word. Let's just have a few moments of silent prayer. And those of you who raised your hands, just settle it with the Lord right there in your seat. If you didn't raise your hand and you know you should make this decision, make it now, and then I'll close this part of our service with prayer. Do it now, please. Lord, you've just heard the prayers that have been offered up to you, and you have already begun the work that is necessary to make these folk doers of your word. Lord, there may be someone here right now, even while I'm talking to you, and that person is struggling. That person knows that he or she should make this decision and make it now. Help that person to do it, even before this service is over. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I would encourage those of you who raised your hands just to go to Pastor Lee, tell him about the decision that you made, so that he can help you and encourage you as you seek to become doers of the Word of God.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill, for the teaching from the Word of God. Everyone here today is a hearer of the Word. And I trust that every one of us will indeed be doers of the Word. And if so, our lives will be blessed. And not only will God bless our lives, he will use doers to be a blessing to other people. And that's a blessing in and of itself. And that's what we're going to sing about. John, come and lead us in our closing hymn, Make Me a Blessing.
Let's all stand, please. And let's ask the Lord to help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And to bless us and make us a blessing. Report of the morning. Our attendance this morning is 166, and we praise God. The offering is $6,126.50. Amen.
And he said that right. Praise God. It's so good to have you worship and fellowship with us this morning. Special thanks to Bill and his wife Betty. I've asked Bill if he would be at the back door to greet people as you leave. And so stop by and say hi to Bill. We praise God that he could be with us this morning. I remind you, at the Welcome Center, there are sign-up sheets. Take a look. We especially invite you to be at the prayer breakfast on Saturday. Looking forward to this one. Missy, for whom we prayed all of last year in her term there in Iraq, will be with us, coming from Colorado. And so sign up. Be part of that. If you sign up, it helps us to make the proper preparations. And then, too, I remind you, there are special baskets at the door, a love offering for Jamie. We praise God that over $700 came in last week to help them with these expenses. They're there for your convenience if you felt led to help with the family of Jamie with some of their expenses. Let's bow for the benediction, and we'll close with the final number. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And as you go in peace, may the God of peace be with you. And all of God's people said, Amen.
And the fourth, please, as the last.
Give as was given to you in your need. Love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed. Unto your mission be true. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life. May Jesus shine. Make me a blessing. Oh, Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today.
And all of God's people said, thank you, and have a great day in the Lord.